get stuck in the back. Maybe she had
It was the I was told it was because of the presenters that were here tonight, so I got pushed back. Okay, this item, and really the next two items are kind of worked together. So we may overlap in some of the discussions between the two items on the next two items. But the first part is the draft resolution for establishing the stormwater utility fee and fee credits. Basically, what this adopts is we last month we adopted the actual stormwater utility ordinance, but we did not part of the ordinance. We took the fees and credits out of the ordinance, and we just made it to where the mayor and council can establish the fee. This is what establishes the actual fee, and what this is basically just does what DeKalb County had charged in the past, which was the $4 per month per equivalent residential unit, which it amounts to for a residential property is $48 a year. Okay. And then for multifamily dwellings, there's a adjustment factor. It's based on the number of units within that development. Apartment complex, a 200-unit apartment complex would be 200 times that with an adjustment factor of 0.7, which is what DeKalb County charged. And for all commercial retail development, uses impervious area with one equivalent residential unit equal to 3,000 square feet of impervious area, which again is the same as what DeKalb has charged.
Okay. Great. So this, in a nutshell, same fee structure.
Same fee structure as DeKalb.
Same old, same old.
Straight out of their ordinance.
All right. Any questions for Richard? Yes, Rob?
Yeah, I note that we have a separate packet with fee structures. Maybe it changed from what we got over the weekend?
I think that's budget.
Stormwater utility.
You're probably looking at the budget part.
Right.
That's budget. That's the next agenda.
Oh, okay. Excuse me.
Okay, any questions for Richard?
Richard, just a quick one on the first front page there. You're talking 1.88 million. You know, the ballpark figure that bounces into my head, and somebody correct me, was like 1.1 and 1.17 or something like that. Robert, help me out on that.
I apologize. That is a typo on my part. It should be 1.18 million, not 1.8 million. On the memo only. The budget is correct. I apologize for that. That's my fault.
Okay, any other questions for Richard on this?
Last question. Will this be on the tax bill just like it has been every other year?
Yes, that is our intention, is to put it on the tax bill. I'm already working with finance administration people, and we have a contact at DeKalb County to, if we're using DeKalb County for the bills, to make sure this gets on there.
And is that in that fee that you're already paying DeKalb County to collect the tax?
Yes, that was in the IGA that we had.
Good. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Robert.
Yeah, just one more. Are the credits the same as DeKalb County?
The credits are the same, and the reason we did that right now is in the ordinance we put in basically a grandfather clause where basically the ordinance says that you have to apply for your credits by January 1st, obviously being April 20th. They can't apply for them this year. So basically we put a grandfather clause that says if you had a credit last year, your credit carries over. What we will likely do is we are gathering examples from other cities about credit structures. If you look at the credits, you can only, basically these only apply to commercial properties. We are actually looking at credits that may apply to residential properties as well and other ways of doing the credit structures, and we'll probably come back at some time during the summer and do an amendment to that. My understanding from talking with Warren is that even we can do these credits so that we can retroactively do the credits, even if it goes out on their bill, as the $48 for a residential, we can retroactively apply credits on the collection end of it, is my understanding. So we can amend those later on.
Okay. Any other questions for Richard? Thank you, Richard. Any other internal discussion on that? All right. You're right. Hang around. We're going to do first read of the ordinance. Sharon, are your vote records in order?
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Are your vocal cords in order? Do you?
If you don't get me up as long as you do, Ms. Peterson, I'll be fine.
All right. And, fair enough.
An ordinance to amend the city agenda in 2009. That's it.
All right. You have anything more to say on this?
This is, and to address your concern, the only thing that I believe changed in the packet today, the backup material is the same as what was in the packet as far as the detailed line item. There was the cover memorandum from and the city budget request amendment, which is the legal amendment, but the numbers in there are the same as what was in. No change from what was presented on the packet over the weekend. And the detailed line item is the same in there. Just the highlights of it, what we're projecting is about $1.18 million in revenue from the stormwater utility. That does include a 5% non-collection contingency in there, and that includes a 2% credit contingency for people if we go back and retroactively do credits. We've also done a three-year in anticipation. What we've done each year is increase the credit amount, figuring this the credits, usually what we're looking at would be a multi-year credit. They don't have to apply every year. So you'll get some people apply this year. As people learn about them, they'll apply next year. So that increases over the three-year period. On the expenditure side, what we are showing this year, one of the things we have this year, I know the question came up about the emergency contingency fund. We've gone and looked at several other cities. What they have proposed is that the ultimate fund that you want to build to is about between 30 and 50% of your annual budget for an emergency fund. In our case, that would be, if you use the 50% number, you're looking around ultimate fund of $600,000. What we've set aside this year in the budget, we've set aside about 10% of, a little bit more than 10% of this year's budget to go to that emergency contingency fund. That is on, if you look on the detailed line item, that's on page 3, where it's emergency contingency fund, $120,000. So by that, it will take about 3 to 4 years to build up to our, what we ultimately want to have is that 30 to 50% of the emergency contingency fund. We've looked, and most of the cities that have started in their first year have taken about 10 to 15% of their budget and put it into the emergency contingency fund. That's we've benchmarked that against several of the other cities. One of the other things we have with this year, of course, with the way we're doing the fees, we're getting a 12 months worth of revenue. We are actually not really, since we're not starting the utility, we used a May 1st, assume a start date of the actual utility activities of May 1st, so you only have 8 months worth of expenditures. That adds about another $200,000 to $250,000 in cost, that basically goes to a capital fund, capital reserves, that aren't being expended this year because we only have 8 months worth of expenses in the utility, not 12 months worth of expenses. So we do have plan to set aside into capital fund additional money. Now, part of that, one of the things is from the cost standpoint, we are inheriting a system that is old. We are inheriting a system that maintenance has not been done on for the amount of maintenance that should have been done has not been done. That being said, we expect that we already have a lot of leaks forming. We already have a lot of pipes that we know need replacing, need repairing. We already know we have a full plate of maintenance activities just to clean out storm drains, just to keep the system up and running. We already have a significant number of requests for riprap to be delivered to property owners, so we expect that there's going to be a lot of demands for the services of the stormwater utility, even from day one.
All right, any further questions?
Is there any plans for a system analysis in order to set future budgets?
Yes. In what we're budgeting this year, let's see if I found it on there.
Page 2.
Page 2. There's, up at the top, there's the professional service inventory and condition assessment of $98,000. What we're required every year to assess 20% of the system for our NPDES permit. In year one, what we're proposing is assessing 40% of the system, and included in that will be a condition assessment, just a sampling condition assessment to be able to establish future levels of need. And at that point, we can use that also to look at our fee structure to determine if we're going to have to adjust our fees. Of course, we can, they can go both ways, up or down, but that will be part of the assessment that we do to assess if our level of collection, level of fees are adequate to service the system we have.
So your budget estimates going through 2011 are really just the status quo, not up, not down.
Not up, not down, right.
Okay.
And obviously, if we're facing it so that if it comes back that the level of need is less, then obviously we'll have to start cutting. We'll cut back on maintenance. We'll cut back on staffing in the utility to meet the budget revenues that we feel are needed for the system in future years.
Yeah, my concern, and I'm absolutely convinced we need to pass this budget and get the utility started, my concern is that without having done that inventory and condition assessment, it's very hard to have any sort of accuracy on the numbers in terms of the expense side of this. So, I'm hoping that we're going to get that inventory done quickly and that you're going to come back to us with a budget that you can have a little more confidence in.
Yes.
Because these numbers don't inspire a lot of confidence.
It's especially in the second and third year, I agree. And we definitely want to, that's part of the whole reason for doing the assessment, is to get a better understanding of our level of need. And that's one reason why we want to do 40% this year instead of just the 20% we're required to do.
All right, Dave.
Just help me understand a little bit here. I went through this. I mean, this is the same thing we had earlier, basically, except for the question you took.
Yeah.
Basically, you're looking at setting up this reserve over here. You got $370,000 in it this year. As I remember, there's some kind of a thing we can put, you're required to expend so much of this anyway on capital expenditures, but a certain amount of it goes into reserves for future for future contingency, am I right there? I see $270,000 for maintenance and repair, and then over here I see $368,000 for capital reserve.
Okay, maintenance repair would be having a basically a stormwater maintenance crew cleaning out storm drains, making like repairing catch basin tops, those type of repair, minor pipe repairs. The capital projects would be the case, I think it's in Mill Glen or one of those subdivisions where we have a 48-inch pipe that's failing and having to replace that 48-inch pipe. That's a capital project, and that's what the capital reserves would be for. And those would be more for wholesale pipe replacement type projects.
But the idea would be to build a capital reserve fund for that rainy day when, i.e., you know, the pipes from A to B,
And some of that is we have the 100 above that 370,000 is the 120,000 emergency contingency fund. That's what we're building. That's what's going towards that rainy day fund, if you want to call it that. And the ultimate, like I said, benchmarking around most of the municipalities and counties that have a stormwater utility build that fund up ultimately to 30 to 50% of their annual budget, which in our case, if you use the 50%, would be about $600,000. So at $120,000 a year, it would take us 4 years to basically build up our rainy day fund. But at the same time, from that $370,000, if we don't do $370,000 worth of capital projects this year, all that money gets rolled over as well, and it's as far as capital reserve, basically.
One other just question on that is that I think the county or someone, in fact, I know they did it all on my street. They were out there for at least 3 days with TV cameras and the guy down running through there. Have we tried to get any type of reports from them of when they last did an analysis of our stormwater?
I think what you're thinking of, that was on the sanitary storm system. They don't usually do that on storm drain system unless they, unless there's an actual problem reported. What they did, the TV cameras, I believe we investigated that, that was on the sanitary sewer system, which is separate issue.
Any other questions for Richard? Yes, Robert?
Just one more. If this utility ran short of money, if we had a big problem and we didn't have the reserve, what would be the process for this utility borrowing money? Would that require a vote from us? Does the utility have the ability to borrow money against future revenue?
Yes.
How would that work?
You are the utility is you, so this is not a separate authority that's set up with a separate board, a governing body, and its own liability. So it's a city, fund. The council would have to initiate revenue bonds, which what you'd be doing is promising future revenue only from the utility. So it would be non-recourse bond financing, and that's a good way. You know, in some cases, depending on how the assessment report comes out, you can do that bond financing, you know, for emergency type repairs that will take a little while to get the repairs going. But you can also use it for plan, you know, if you want to do a massive reactive capital program, you can use your bond financing as well.
But it would be us who would decide.
Yes. City Council.
I just got a comment that I kind of like to have in the minutes, that because why would the City Council take on a liability like this? I mean, that is a question that I think is a bona fide question that the citizens might ask. And I think the answer, of course, is very simple, is that when we investigated the DeKalb County storm water utility, we found out that there was no money in the coffer. So rather than continue to pump our money into that and not have anything there when we went, even though there is a liability associated with this that we fully understand, this was the best route for us to go to ensure that we could keep our stormwater utility flowing in the ongoing future.
Anything else for Richard?
All right, thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
All right, first read.
I failed to do this before, and I apologize. If I could, Tony, if you could stand up for a second. It's late in the evening, I apologize, I should have done this earlier, but I just didn't want to introduce the council as our project manager and budget manager for the city, Tanya Jackson. She came to us on a short, she served a short period of time for the city of Atlanta as their budget chief, budget and policy chief, and she's taken over Georgia's responsibilities full-time here in the Dunwoody office. And is also serving in the capacity as our budget manager on a full-time basis, and we're thrilled to have her on the team. I want to make sure I introduced her to you all as well.
Okay. So I'm still
paying. We're a little bit tired of the city of Atlanta. I just want to let you know that.
I thought that's too short.
A lot tighter.